From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California is in the midst of sorting out its financial future, with a budget deadline quickly approaching. In recent years, the Golden State has found itself in the red and being forced to close deficits in the tens of billions of dollars. In January, Governor Newsom proposed his initial spending plan for the upcoming fiscal year, which included a modest deficit of nearly $3 billion, though nonpartisan analysts estimated that gap to be significantly higher. But the following months have brought a lot of changes, and last week Newsom issued an update to his January budget proposal known as the May Revise, one that aims to bridge the existing gap and leave the state in strong financial footing for the future. But this latest proposal still needs to clear the state legislature by next month. Cap Radio State House politics reporter Laura Fitzgerald joins us with a breakdown. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Vicky.
So how big is Newsom's revised budget?
Yeah, the total spending plan, it's just shy of $350 billion. So, you know, it's significant. Definitely a big budget. The first budget Newsom signed when he took office back in 2019 was just, you know, not just, but it was $214 billion. Still a lot of money, but much less than what we're seeing now.
Right. I mean, we're all talking in relative terms with hundreds of billions of dollars. That's more than a 50% increase. Why has it grown so much in that time?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. California's revenue has increased, meaning there's more for the state to spend. But I think most of this increase is attributed to sustaining services and programs at the local level. And I know we're going to hear from the LAO in just a few minutes. They have a great report about this with more details on why that number has grown.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, they're going to join us in just a few minutes. So, Laura, what are the biggest differences between Newsom's original proposal back in January and the May revision?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is that this budget proposal, it essentially zeroes out the deficit that the state was facing back when Newsom presented his initial budget proposal in January. So according to Newsom, at least, the state has a better fiscal outlook because state revenues look like they'll be higher than projected. So that's a big reason why, you know, that deficit would be zeroed out.
Okay, well, back in January, Newsom also said the state faced a modest deficit in the single digits billion-dollar wise. Is that still the case?
That's right. So back in January, he said the state faced a $2.9 billion shortfall, but this budget essentially cancels that out because of, like I mentioned, the higher than expected state revenues.
Okay. So given that change in a good direction, how does that shift translate into his budget priorities in the May revise?
Yeah, I think, you know, even though Newsom isn't operating with this assumption that there is an immediate deficit problem that the state has to deal with anymore, you know, that has changed, he still says it's not time for any new spending. So this May revise, it does include a few different proposals aiming to save the state money. One is increasing healthcare premiums for individuals with unsatisfactory immigration status. That includes people without legal status and also some immigrants that arrived in the U.S. legally. So it's a $20 increase, which would bump those premiums up to $50. And then the budget also proposes reinstating Medi-Cal asset test limits. That's the limit of assets someone can essentially have in order to qualify for Medi-Cal.
Back in January, Newsom made education funding a top priority. Is that still preserved in the revise?
Yeah, you know, I think it's fair to say education is a big winner in Newsom's May revise. He's making historic investments in, you know, TK through 12 education, as well as the UC and CSU systems and higher education. And, you know, so there's definitely spending for students, but also for school employees. He's proposing a cost of living adjustment of around 4%, which is pretty significant for faculty and, you know, school employees. And then this budget proposal also includes a 14-week paid pregnancy leave for all TK through 12 and community college employees, which is pretty significant.
Yeah, and just in the last few months, from the original budget proposal to the revision, the state is also reporting an increase in the state's tax revenue. How much money are we talking about?
According to the administration, state revenues are going to be about $16.5 billion more than expected at the start of the year, which is pretty significant.
So what is fueling that extra money?
Yeah, it's so the higher than expected revenues, it's in part thanks to the, booming stock market and also this huge growth in the AI industry, which is, a lot of that is rooted right here in California. And both of those booming things, they mean that California can collect more in tax revenue.
So, is there any new spending in this revise, or is the governor keeping things conservative?
I think it's fair to say he's still keeping things on the more conservative side. Actually, this is how he described it during his presentation last week.
No big new ongoing investments. We can't afford to do that right now. We need to tighten that belt, and we need to focus, and I'll get to efficiencies and outcomes.
So, I mean that's how he is framing it. I think this budget really is a reflection of not a lot of new spending when it comes to, state programs, things like that.
In the days since this May revision was released, which groups are maybe the most disappointed by what's included and not included in this revision?
There's always a lot of reactions. There are always people that are unhappy with every single budget, which, makes sense. I think groups that advocate for immigrants and people without legal status have been really critical of increasing the healthcare premiums for this population. I think they see this as making it essentially so that people can't access this care because they can't afford it. And I've spoken to advocates who represent public hospitals who are also wary of these premium hikes. And they say, in a lot of public hospitals, they see a higher percent of patients that are on Medi-Cal. And they say it's going to make it so less people can afford healthcare. And therefore, maybe they decide to go without insurance. And then they end up seeking care in the emergency room, which is a real financial challenge for hospitals. So a lot of people say, well, you pay for this either way. It just depends on at what point in the process. And then local governments are also critical of the May revise for a number of reasons. CSAC, which is the California State Association of Counties, it says the budget proposal would hit counties hard financially, having to provide for residents with, when it comes to the cuts that we saw under the federal HR 1, they say it leaves counties having to fund in-home supportive services. And they also are critical, saying it doesn't include enough funding for Prop 36, which voters passed in 2024. And homelessness prevention, either.
Across the aisle, what has the response been from Republicans?
Yeah, well, Republicans, perhaps unsurprisingly, have been critical of Newsom's proposal, and they typically are critical of Democratic-led budget proposals. But they've long said the state needs to fund Prop 36, and they've criticized Newsom, who opposed Prop 36, for not doing that. I spoke with Republican Senator Roger Nilo, who represents part of the Sacramento region. He says he's concerned that the proposal doesn't do anything to address the deficits that are likely to come after the next 2 budget years. Here's what he told me.
I do not think that he is leaving with a balanced budget because, by definition, it is completely out of whack after these first 2 years. And I'm not even sure that these first 2 years will continue to stay balanced with the assumptions that he has.
Well, Senator Nilo is one of the many lawmakers that will be negotiating with the governor. Are there any major differences between the revised budget from Governor Newsom and what lawmakers would like ahead of this being passed and signed into law?
Yeah, there's always going to be some differences between the governor and legislature's proposals for how California should spend its money. And I think those will become clear as lawmakers hash out details in budget committees over the next month or so. But something that stood out to me, kind of right off the bat, looking at the proposal, is that there seems to be a willingness in the legislature, among Democrats at least, to impose more taxes on top-earning corporations. Democrats in the Senate have proposed this. And this is not something Newsom supports. I asked him about this directly on Thursday. His preferred approach is to place significant limits on corporate tax credits. So I think when it comes to taxing the wealthy, whether that's individuals or corporations right now, there's seems like among Democrats, there's a lot of desire to do that, but there are differing approaches on how they want to go about it. And so it'll be interesting to see how they land on that.
This is also Newsom's final budget before he terms out. Has he talked about what kind of a state, what kind of a California he'll be leaving for his successor?
Yeah, he addressed this last Thursday during the presentation, and he made a point of saying that this proposal not only eliminates the deficit this year, but next year too, saying that he didn't want to leave the next governor with the situation of where they're having to immediately grapple with a bleak budget situation. But that being said, I mean, he did acknowledge that deficits are likely in the years to follow, and this proposal doesn't do anything to address that.
Well, the May revise is just that, a revision. So what are the next steps in the budget process?
Yeah, it's now it's really the sprint to the finish for the budget. Newsom and lawmakers will negotiate to develop the final budget act, and that has to be passed by mid-June, June 15th, to be specific. And lawmakers are going to hold a lot of budget committee hearings in the coming weeks where they'll hear from advocates, members of the public, about which areas of spending they should prioritize. And then after this process wraps up, I mean, some of these things may look the same, some will be quite different, which is usually how it goes. So we'll be following those negotiations to see what the final product looks like.
Well, thank you for following and sharing a breakdown with us, Laura.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Vicky.
That is Cap Radio State House politics reporter Laura Fitzgerald.